And oh,
sorry.
Oh my God, that's you talking to me.
Sorry about that. Yeah. That was very God, rude.
You got a woman's voice. Okay.
Who was that? Okay, so yeah, we're gonna start this again. All right.
No do overs. Just, all right. Just didn't all promise moving forward.
Well, Dad, we you know you are just so cool like that. So we just thank you for this wonderful day. We thank you for this wonderful family that you called us to be a part of, Father, and that you have placed each person in this body as you have saw fit. So we thank you for that. We thank you that we can come together and have our hearts knitted together and just learn more and more about you and how wonderful you are. God, is just an unending learning cycle of the things that you do for us, how you take care of us, and just who you are. So we thank you for this great day that we have to be able to gather and hear things about you, learn things, Lord, be encouraged by each other, and just this wonderful fellowship. Thank you for every person here and for their life before you, God. Thank you, God, that we can just throw everything out the door and just lay our heads at your feet and listen to the things that you have for us for this day. So we're just happy to be here and be with each other. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else?
Okay. Father, thank you. Thank you so much for just how desirous you are to see us blessed and that you have given us all those blessings, all those promises that we can lay hold of, that we can just keep in the forefront of our minds and manifest in our lives as we walk in them. So thankful, Father, for just the eternal life that you have already given us with that Holy Spirit that you've given us. Thank you so much for the power that gives us in this life also, and that we have authority over Satan and his doings, and that we can just decide to walk and talk with you and receive all those blessings. So thank you so much for how much you take care of us each and every day, each and every moment of the day, that you're with us in our work, our play, just everything that we do, that you're always there to help us, and guide us, and give us the paths of righteousness to walk down and to see all those wonderful blessings come to pass in our lives. So thank you for this. Thank you for how much you care for us. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Anybody else? Well, Father, thank you for the way you continue to work so mightily within each of us. Thank you, Father, for the power of your presence ever available to us in every situation, every condition that we find ourselves in this world. Thank you, Father, that we can have complete confidence in knowing that your power resides within each of us, that we are more than conquerors in every situation, that we have the power and authority of the heavenlies where we sit at our disposal at all times. Thank you, Father, that we can walk above the world and see the world for truly what it is, a place that is not our home. Father, thank you for continuing to remind us and encourage us, strengthen us, and guide our steps throughout each day so that we can glorify you in everything that we do and say. That, Father, you look past our shortcomings. We're so thankful for that. Thankful that you see us only as your righteous sons and daughters, filled with the power of all of your authority. Thank you, Father, for that spirit that does dwell within us, that we have access to at every moment. Thank you, Father, for the access that we have to you by way of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you that we can enjoy our fellowship with you and continue to see the great reality of our relationship and how personal it is with you. Father, thank you for that. Thank you for continuing to open the eyes of our understanding so that we can know more and more of what you have called us to each and every day. Thank you for these things in the wonderful and powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Okay, well, I know there's got to be great testimonies that God's been doing for us, so who has something on their heart they'd like to share? Anybody? Hey, Holly has joined us. Hello, Holly.
Hi, Holly. And Kurt? Kurt just got on.
No, Kurt's been on.
Oh, hi, Kurt.
Does she want to go closer? Oh, I'll share.
Okay, Cheryl.
I'm feeling really sanctified today, set apart from all the junk in the world. And I don't see you, Donnie. There we are. Anyways, I'm at a place in my mind that I would like to keep 100% of the time. I do not care anything about what's going on in the world. Because I remembered the two things that the adversary, it's only two things, it's simple for me to remember. He always tries to get to us by pressure or pleasure. And that's what I was reading, because I was reading in Ezekiel. And in Ezekiel, how he appeared before Eve, it lists in Ezekiel that he, in the Garden of Eden, every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, diamonds, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, emerald, carbuncle, gold. I mean, he appeared to her in a mesmerizing, I call it, Little Richard cape. You know how Little Richard used to come out on stage, man, and he owned it. And he was just flashy, and you just loved the guy. But Lucifer came out in the cape, and he dressed, the way he appeared to her was not like a scary snake. It was like some unbelievable, beautiful thing, because he was the bright morning star. And he used the things, he just used what he had available to him to get her attention physically. And then when he spoke to her, he had to have that charismatic, you know, way that, you know, some of these men have, ladies, we know them. they come on smooth and talk cool. But anyways, bottom line is, he was like a charismatic, beautiful, magnificent thing, and she probably was just completely taken with him when he appeared. And she looked at him and saw his beauty, and right then she was like a deer in the headlights. And then he opened his mouth and tried to get her to doubt what she was told by Adam. That God told her, I mean, God told Adam not to eat of that fruit of, was it knowledge? Yeah. And so the bottom line is, again, another bottom line, I just see how deceptive he is in our lives in such sneaky ways that we can be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. Because we know that it's pressure or pleasure, and he lays the pressure on us in our lives. And then when the pressure finally eases off, there'll probably be some pleasure hanging around or coming in front of our face to try to mesmerize us. So I'm just really thankful that we're sanctified, that God made us available for us to be sanctified and set apart from all those things and still be able to function in the world. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Well, I got to piggyback on that because I have a testimony today. Man, Cheryl is so, that's so, so wonderfully true, what you shared. As y'all know, I'll tell you a little bit about my saga here. This about a month ago, I shared that, that for months I believed God was working on my heart to reach out to marginalized people and the homeless and whatnot. And it's not something that I had ever really thought about doing or anything. And I kind of considered it in my heart for a while, for months, just not sure about it because it was such a difference in what I normally do, So I just lifted it to God and I told God that I would do it by myself and him, if that's how he wanted me to do it, but that I would really prefer to have other believers, to be with them too. And Lord, he answered that prayer because, I got invited to a little, like a women's fellowship type thing and, found out at this women's fellowship, that there was a program that reached out to the homeless people. And it wasn't just one specific church or, anything. It was just a group of believers who loved God and wanted to serve people and, tell people about Jesus Christ. And I thought, well, okay. This sounds pretty cool. So I got involved in it. And immediately the pressure came. Oh, this is not really what God wants you to do. You're just doing this because of, you're just wanting to walk with God and you really can't. And I mean, just all kind of stupid, ridiculous things. And I just pushed forward and, I said, God, if I'm just doing this on my own strength, then I'll find that out soon enough, but I'm just going to walk out on this and believe that this is what you want me to do. And so I did. And, man, I've learned so much, mainly that, that God is no respecter of persons, that he, if you believe, you're going to receive. And, I got involved in thinking of or listening to Sangat Baines' teaching on how to heal the sick and cast out devils. I was just trying to prepare my heart and my mind and build my believing and immerse myself in the Word of God so that I could help people. That was what I wanted to do. And God put that desire on my heart to do that. It wasn't me. And so I got out there, the first time, and we go to like four or five different locations in Columbus because we meet these people where they're at, and they're all different kinds of people. And we went to this one place called The Bridge. It's where these people live, and they're homeless people for the most part. And Sangat Baines said the first thing you do is you preach the word. You preach the word. And I realized that's what was lacking in my life. And if I get honest about it, it's just because I was lazy. It was more pleasurable for me to just sit on the couch and watch TV or just do my own thing than it was to just take a step out and walk with God. At least I thought that was more pleasurable at the time. But I get out there and, I find out, that these people have been very faithful to get out and get to know these people. They got to know them and they would bring them food. We prepare food and we bring them food so that they can have something to eat and bring them toiletries, just basic needs, stuff like that. But the whole goal is not just that. The goal is to teach them about Jesus Christ. And so we get out there and we have a fellowship and they just talk to them about Jesus Christ and share their stories. And so I'm watching these people and I'm speaking in tongues and just kind of, taking it all in. And at the bridge, we were in our fellowship, and there was one person sharing about Jesus Christ, and this girl walked up and said, "I want to know about Jesus Christ." And so there were a couple of believers that took her to the side and sat down with her. And I was at a distance, but I was speaking in tongues, and, you know, because that's what God wanted me to do. And this girl got completely delivered. I mean, and it turns out, I found out on the back end, that they had been basically speaking with her for about 8 weeks. That she had been showing up. So it wasn't like all of a sudden she showed up, "I want to know about you." This was something that was a process. And this person got to the place in her heart and life that she decided she wanted to believe God. And she had years and years of torment. I mean, she just went through hell and was just a completely broken person. And, you know, I don't know whether she got born again during this or whether she was just delivered from spiritual oppression. And I really don't care. All I know is that Jesus Christ is that God healed her. And and she has just been a different person. And, you know, and there are some people that you know, you talk to them and they don't have that desire. And that's the second thing that Sex on Got Baines talked about was, you preach the word, but people have to have the desire, and they have to have a strong desire to be delivered. And when you have a strong desire, you're going to act on that desire. And that's what that girl did. But I've also seen people who, it's like a brick wall. You know, you tell them God can heal you right now. You know, you don't have to be oppressed by this. You can be delivered from this. And it's just like nothing there. You know, so you just move on and you try to get to the next person. But I've just been so blessed, and God has just taught me things and blessed my life with all of this. And I'm just overcome with joy and with gratefulness to God that we have a life like this, that we can live, and it's not hard. And we do have those pressures and those, you know, pressures that try to get us away from doing what God wants us to do. But just, if you just take a step forward, God will keep teaching you. And so that's what I wanted to share. It's lengthy, but.
Thank you, Mary. That's great. Yep. Preaching the word. You know, you tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ, and some will hear it, some won't. The ones that hear it get delivered. You know? And they're the ones that continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So those are the people that God's most attentive to. He wants all men to be saved, to come to a knowledge of the truth, but the ones that listen are the ones that get the benefits. So, and we don't have to make them listen. We don't have to clean their ears out. You know, that's not our job. We are not spiritual Q-tips. Right? We are the ones that just simply speak when there's a door of utterance open to us. So, that's the beauty of our lives. It is a great life. You're right. It's a blessed life. So, who else has something? Thanks for sharing that, Mary.
Oh, I got something.
Okay, Andrew. Really?
Yeah.
Let everybody see.
Okay.
Well, everybody see.
Yeah.
Hey, right?
Yeah,
no.
Okay. All right, Andrew.
Well, last week, it was Thursday. I've been working overtime this all week. Really don't feel up to it or anything. So I go into work first thing in the morning, and this guy asked me to pray for him. I said, you know, I've seen him here and there, just, you know, walking through the hallway or whatever, say hi to him, good morning, talk to him a little bit. He said, "Hey, can you pray for me? I heard you pray for people." I said, yeah, what's going on, man?" And he said it was something with his mom. She had a heart problem, and he couldn't go see her because she was in Tennessee and whatever. But he's like, "I heard you pray for people." I said, "Yeah." So sat down, prayed with his mom, or prayed for his mom, and prayed with him. And God told me, after I was done praying, ask him to pray. So I did that and didn't hear anything of it. Still haven't heard anything about it, but afterwards I go and sit down at my desk. And it's so funny. That's given the common consensus pressure or pleasure. I go sit down on my desk and this guy goes and gets one of my units, hands it back to me. He looks at it and smiles. He goes, "You got a reject. You missed a screw there." And I never, never get a mechanical reject. It's always like paperwork. So it's like, I'm getting really on myself. I'm like, dang it. Man, first thing in the morning. So my 6-month streak gone. But, so kind of just kind of puts me in a mood just all day. I'm just like, I throw on the word and listen to my earphones and I get off work and then I go home, sit on my bed and I'm just kind of done for the entire day. And I'm just kind of just sitting talking to God and everything. And he turned me on to some game. He told me that, you know, the thing about it, Andrew, is through the line of authority from when God first called us to making it available to us to be his sons through Jesus Christ, all the way through the generations of us getting the word, all the way to Dr. Warwell, to my grandma, to my mom, and my dad, to me. All this line of authority, at some point, there has to be boots on the ground. There has to be somebody doing it. There has to be. And you're doing it. So there's not any way I'm not going to bless you. All this stuff around you, the rejects, the money you make, all that stuff, you can't take it with you. What you can take with you is the work that you did for God in this body right now. It's that Bible verse, or not Bible verse, that poem, and I am going to totally butcher this. He has no hands but our hands to move. Okay, somebody has to know it.
I think we remember it.
Give
the people breath.
Yes. No hands but your hands to walk but among the almost dead. Yeah. Something.
Walk the almost
dead. We'll have to look that up.
Yep. These are the proving times. This is a proving hour. And we're supposed to redeem the times because the days are evil. What are we thinking about from day to day? Are we thinking about rejects? Are we thinking about our bills? Are we thinking about, you know, oh, this crappy thing that happened to him? Or this crappy thing that's going to happen to me? Are we thinking about, we're supposed to be there. We're supposed to be the lights of the world for people. I don't know this guy. I've never ministered to him. I've never talked about God to him. He said, I just heard you pray for people. And he came up to me and I prayed for him. Well, I know the results of what happened with his mom. I don't know. I might, but I believe in my heart and I believe God. So it's like, what are you going to look at? You're going to look at what the world has to offer? Or you going to look at what God has to offer for you? Because with God, man, that's it. So, no, I love you guys, and you guys are the best. And, yeah, I love you guys, and you guys are the best. Every last one of you guys are God's best. So, thank you guys.
Right back at you, Andrew.
All right, Andrew. Yeah, you too. You're the best, brother. That's great. Yep, there's more to this life than what we see, right? It's the things that are unseen that are most important. So, all right, Alicia's sitting here, and she's... Yeah, you can get it.
Hold on.
Yeah, you get it. Now when my microphone's back on, we won't be feeding back over here.
Okay.
All right, good. Alicia's joined us. Hey!
How can she be two places at one time?
I don't know. Look at that technology.
It's a miracle.
Modern technology.
Too much. Too much. Just
go ahead.
Was that you? Okay. That would be yeah. All right, Vita has something.
Mr. Spence.
Ah, I don't like the camera on me.
What?
Can you put it on you and I'll talk?
No.
She don't want the camera on her.
Okay. No, I'll be okay. I'll make it through. Now, I was,
he's like,
I was just thinking about something, and, I think I wrote on my, sticky note, the word consider, okay? And I think I was inspired to do it, been sitting through, some of the classes that Sheila, Trish, and Jan's doing, exploring the prophetic. And so one of the thoughts I had in it is, you know, seeing God in everything, considering what it is he's trying to say to me, speak to me in the moment. But, you know, sometimes you can be like, something may happen and you just, oh, well, you know. And so what I did to remind myself to stop and see what God is trying to say to me in the moment, I put this little sticky pad on my bathroom mirror that said, consider. And it was just to slow me down to say, God, what are you saying? What is this? What is happening? You know, what are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to get me to share with someone? Just like Andrew was sharing, you know, how God told him to pray for someone, because life can get so busy. We're in the midst of doing so many things that God is trying to speak to us, but we're so busy about our day, we're just not listening. So I wanted to start listening more to what it was that he was saying to me. And it's been wonderful, you know, to realize how much God is telling us. He's talking to us all the time, you know, because we are spiritual beings. We are his children. And I had this verse, let me see if I pulled it up in John 5, John chapter 5, and in verse 19, Jesus Christ was saying, and says, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. You know, and we're God's sons and daughters. And so, you know, the things that we're seeing, the things we're doing is the things that the Father is telling us. So to be more conscious of that in my everyday things that I'm doing, you know, because it's not just coincidence or it's not just haphazardly something happened. God is trying to speak to me, and he speaks through any means he wants to, you know. It can be in the morning when it's very quiet. It can be when I'm in the restroom. It can be when I'm in the tub. It can be through someone else, you know. Somebody may call and say something that will inspire me to hear what it is the Father is saying. So he's not limited to one way of speaking, one way of communicating to me. It can be like just being outside in nature, you know. The birds singing, anything that can inspire you to hear what it is that the Father is trying to speak and say to you. So just wanted to share that. It's what came to my heart this morning, how to just stop in the midst of life and consider what it is the Father is saying to us, because that's what Jesus Christ did at all times. He was doing the Father's will. That means he had to be listening to the Father. You know, and that means the Father had to be talking to him at all times. So it's available for us to walk that way and be in that moment. So that's kind of what I want to share. Take that camera off. Oh,
she's the glory of the Lord.
She's the glory of the Lord right there. Thanks. That's wonderful.
I'll share now.
Okay. That's great, Vita. Thank you. That's wonderful.
It's on. Is this thing on? It's funny, Cheryl, that you shared what you shared, because I was just planning to share that same record and a few other things that kind of go with it, not like to the extent or to the length of, you know, how we were taught in the old dealing with the adversary class. But I was thinking about those very same things. Great minds think alike, you know. And not only is it pressure and pleasure that will distract us away from the true God. We also had learned at one time that there are what we used to call the four fronts. And they're, you know, like the enemy comes out. He's not always real blatant, although lately he's been pretty daggone blatant out there in the world. But sometimes he has such a great counterfeit going on. And the four fronts are yourself, other people, nature, and religion, and how you can worship religion. Some people do, all the way to the extent of, you know, the holidays that we celebrate today are around certain things, like worshiping, you know, the Christmas tree. I still like putting up a nice Christmas tree. But anyway, the idea is that, you know, you can't, like with yourself, I think probably for all of us, the trick that the adversary would play the most on any one of us is that we could let our own flesh get in our own way to trust and believe God. Because it's just like Andrew had said, whether it's your works and you're doing great and 6 months free and clear, or if you got rejects. Oh, I had a reject. And don't we just hate it when we get a reject? You know, and I don't know about you all, but last couple of weeks, I had a series of those kinds of feelings. And, you know, feelings come and go, and they're not real. They have nothing necessarily to do with the ultimate outcome, because we know that all things work together for good to those of us who love God. But we have to live in these bodies until the Lord Jesus Christ gets us out of here. So in the meantime, we got to know that our flesh is going to get in our way, whether it be through accomplishments and, oh, aren't I so great and wonderful because I'm so smart and I'm so this and that and wealthy and blah, 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 you know. And that was basically the essence of the record in Ezekiel 28. And you can look there if you want. I'll read a verse or two. But what Cheryl was sharing was from Ezekiel 28. And it was what we used to call and what's called a type, or you could call it a spiritual telescoping. I like that one. That's a new one I heard a couple years back, where somebody, and in this case, it was specifically the person that was being spoken to was the Prince of Tyrus, or Prince of Tyre. Tyrus, okay. Prince of Tyrus. You know, but it had a dual meaning. It was also, as Cheryl was describing, talking about the adversary, the devil in the very beginning, and how he deceived Eve, and how beautiful he was in his tabrets and his gold and his topaz and all that jazz. All his bling and da-da-da-da, right? So he was gorgeous. And it says in Isaiah 20 or Ezekiel 28, verse 15, it says, "Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee." And I like King James, so that's what I'm reading. It's what I grew up on. But I like other versions too, but this one to me is how I memorize certain verses. Verse 16, "By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore," sinned is simply to miss the mark. "Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire." You know, a covering cherub is an angel. You know, he was once, like Cheryl shared, the bright and morning star. at the right hand of God, perfect in all his ways, until iniquity was found in him. And verse 17 says, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Now, that's exactly what we're talking about here. You know how your own flesh can get in your way. Whether you feel condemnation and guilt and sadness and emotions that take you weird places. You know, your flesh, it says in Romans, in the flesh dwelleth no good thing. Nothing. You know, whether your flesh is pretty, you know, or whether it's pretty bad, or, you know, like, it's not about the flesh. It is about who we are in Christ. And of course, this is describing something from ancient history here, but thine heart, the truth is still the same. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Verse 17. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, and that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Yeah, and I'm actually going somewhere with this, so we won't get into the great depth of this. You can read the whole chapter. It's very interesting because it describes the Prince of Tyre or Tyrus, but it also is describing the adversary and how beautiful and perfect he was in the beginning. The angel of light, he was called. Okay, so now, if you look at Isaiah 14, it also covers the same kind of information, and I think it really sets it quite interesting here in verse 12. So I'm still talking about the forefronts, yourself or other people. What other people think of you seems to be such a big deal these days, right? All you social media fans. You know, and some of us may go into the homeless communities, Mary, and some of us may not. But I got people right next door to me that need what I've got to give to them. And everybody, God meets every one of us where we're at, and we are inspired on the level of wanting to take it to the next level, to our heart's desire. And God will open doors for us. I love how you shared, Andrew, about this person just wanting you to pray for him and his mother there, and how God just gave you that. And I happen to know with Andrew that, Justin, are you in there? I happen to know that Andrew has been desiring this greatly. Andrew just lost his sibling, his twin. And he is propelled in a direction of, I need to understand stuff, God. I need to see beyond in the spiritual realm. I need to rise up, and I need to operate my ministries and give what I've got to give. You know, sometimes out of the greatest grief and sadness comes the most wonderful growth in your life and your ability to serve others. So, and along these same lines here in Isaiah 14, verse 12 says, it's kind of talking about the same stuff from Ezekiel. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Of course, this was the adversary, the devil's name. O Lucifer, O son of the morning. Oh, he was the bright morning star. He was beautiful. He was perfect in all his ways. How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? How did this happen? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. The stars of God were the other angels. I. He is filled with pride. His heart is lifted up to the point where he thinks he can become God. And that's what happened. And he is the great deceiver of mankind. If he can get any one of our worship in any indirect fashion, if he can't get it direct, he can get it indirectly through self-worship, you know, where you're just, oh my God, I'm just so, you know, amazing here. Well, you are amazing, but keep it straight about why you're amazing. You're amazing because God made you amazing. And with him, you're everything. But without him, trust me, honey, you're nothing. And we have to keep it straight and scripturally too, and accurate according to the word of God. Self, other people. You know, don't let other people throw you off your game. I love what you shared there, Andrew, also about God gave you game. That's right. He did. He gave because you desired it. You wanted it. And he gave you a way and a means to minister. And then, of course, religion. Please don't get me started on that one. There's just too many choices out there and lots of different expressions. And these days, anything goes. And, you know, just remind you how it says it in two different places that there is another Jesus out there, and please don't worship that one. And the way you know the difference between the genuine and the counterfeit is to study the scriptures, to know what the scriptures say that way. Or if God gives it to you in real time, you download it in the spirit. He shows you something, right? So, and then of course, nature, and we could add a few things to this list of these fronts. I think there's many fronts out there now. Politics, power, you know, money, race. Oh my gosh. All the divisions out there, all these things. I mean, those could fall under self or other people. Maybe they're subcategories. I don't know, but they're really strong today. The division and the craziness out there. We are spiritual people in these physical bodies. We are a family. We are God's children, brothers and sisters in Christ, right? We've all had different experiences. We all have come from different places. We're all different ethnicities and ages and everything else. And, you know, it's not about your flesh or mine. So back to this here in Isaiah, and then I'll wrap it up in a bit. Verse 13, this is kind of the key, and you got to remember this whole I thing is the problem. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will, and it literally reads in the Hebrew, be the Most High God. And that is what the adversary is looking to do and accomplish, to become that main God, you know, his pride, his jealousy, you know, he was lifted up with the brightness of who he was. And to, I mean, these aren't just little Bible children's stories, you know, that we've been told about angels and so forth. These things happened, and that's why we have pressure, and that's why, you know, the pressures and pleasures of life can distract us away from the truth of God and who we are in Christ. We are wonderfully and awesomely made because of God. We are heaven's holiest of all because of God and because of what Jesus Christ accomplished for us, and it's by grace and not by our works at all, right? So this whole chapter indicates a lot of things regarding that. There's many things, you know, we could talk about, but it's like Vita said, that word consider makes me think of the scripture that says, consider what I say and the Lord give thee understanding. Consider, think about it. To consider in the Bible means to contemplate it and to delve into it deeply, to just sit and mull it over and really, you know, think about it. And of course, we're so blessed to have the ability to speak in tongues, right? And for God to show us things and to teach us what the scriptures really mean and to help us understand. And it is true. We do have to redeem the time, Andrew, right? The world has nothing to offer us. And I see this more and more as I get older and older that, it's not about what I have accomplished or most, usually in my brain, the thing the adversary throws at me is what I haven't accomplished. Those desires that I just so want. Oh, well, I didn't do that one, did I? you know, and something will remind me almost every day that I failed somewhere. And he does every single one of us. And the hurt of the pain of that sometimes is almost unbearable because you want so badly to help people, to give to them, to teach God's word, to share, to serve. But you don't all have to go down to the homeless community. You know, and I only say that, Mary, because maybe somebody could condemn themselves because they're not able or willing to go do something like that. But that was what God told you to do, and I think it's fantastic. And I know you're getting really blessed by doing that because you said, not only today, but once when you talked about it, that this was something that is not your comfort zone, you know? And so God just thinks we're fantastic and loves us so very much if we never do another daggone thing for him. He does. He loves us. He thinks we are beautiful and perfect because we believed and we have spirit because of it and we have eternal life and he's given us promise of this life and of that which is to come, not because of our works, but because of the accomplished work of Jesus Christ. So, you know, and I love that verse that Vita shared too about the, in John about, he can only do what, you know, the Father has for him. And that's how we all need to think more on, in the redeeming the time factor in our daily walks. I mean, maybe I didn't do such and such in my life on my bucket list but I don't want to anymore really because it's a different season now where maybe it isn't as important to me as it once might have been. You know, we got to keep it simple. The adversary is complicated. We just love God, love each other, walk in love, light, and circumspectly, which is wisdom, and just keep moving forward because there will come a time, and hopefully in the very near future, that we're out of here. And eternity is a real long time. And we have rewards. We have blessings both now and for all eternity for what we are doing by believing and representing God and doing our very best to do that. So that was what was on my heart. Just to not let your own flesh get in your way and those forefronts. But it's funny Cheryl brought that up because I was thinking about those very same things.
All right.
Sorry, that was a little wordy.
Wonderful.
But
great. No, that's great. Yeah, those are wonderful records in the scripture. You have, there's so much to learn, right? It's for our learning. That's what that stuff is for. You know, so when we have time and we have the inspiration, we go and we look at things, we read things, and we learn. We learn about our Heavenly Father and His plan of redemption. We learn of, you know, the spiritual fight we're in. And we recognize that, through it all, God has maintained His faithfulness, right? And He has continued to do everything that He has said He would do. Some of it is still yet to be fulfilled, but you can look at God's track record and realize that, well, there's no doubt it's going to happen. Everything else He said is going to happen has happened, right? So all the things that are still yet to be fulfilled will happen. No question. No question for us about God, right? The world out there questions God. They question God all the time, but that's not what we do. We don't have to because we know that God is true and God is real and He is the Most High and He is the one that works within us, right? He is working in us. He is working. That's the reality of our lives day by day. Once the moment we're born again of God's Spirit, the moment that we believe that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead and we confess Him our Lord, then at that moment, God begins a continuing work in us. He puts His Spirit within us. He has that access to each one of us and we have access to Him. And He continues to work continually. It is that present tense participle, you know, working in you. He is working in you, you know, and that's the reality of our lives, right? And so now what we do with that, do we consciously recognize the presence and power of God in our lives day by day, moment by moment? Are we constantly realizing that, hey, God is with me. I can walk through the shadow, through the valley of the shadow of death. I don't fear anything. Why? Because God is with me. The fulfillment of that psalm was what Jesus Christ accomplished for us. We have all that God is, all that he ever said he would become for any one of his people through any time in history. We have all of it wrapped up in what Jesus Christ has accomplished. We have his authority. We have his guidance in our lives. We have the power of his presence in our lives, and therefore we have no fear in any situation. We don't need to. We can listen to what the adversary is saying. Oh, you should be afraid. You should be afraid of this virus, that virus. You should be afraid of the next strain. Oh, it's coming. It's coming. Mask up. Double mask. Triple mask. Be afraid. And yet God says, no, I'm with you. I am with you. You have no need to be afraid. You can walk in my presence. You can walk in my love. And it will cast out all fear. The reality of our lives and what we have is something real. It's not something questionable. It's not something obtuse. It's a great word.
Yeah.
Obtuse.
He's the mathematician.
But, you know, we have something that is so real. It's as real as it was to those apostles, those disciples of Christ, when he looked out among the multitudes and said, look, look, the field is ripe with harvest. You know, there may have been a multitude of people, but then there was that field of harvest that was ripe. And he looked, he said, that's what's ready for us to go out in there as laborers in the harvest. You know, and to reap the benefits of harvesting. You know, what is that whole figure of speech and analogy is so beautiful. You know, when a farmer looks out among his field and he gets at that vantage point where he looks across the field and he sees it ready for harvest, what does he feel like? He feels like, oh, all the work was worth it. God has caused the rain. He's caused it to be fertile. He's blessed the labor of my hands, and it is now I'm ready to reap the benefits. You know, when we look over the fields of our life, it is ready for the harvest. We are right at that place where we can reap the benefits of all that God has labored for throughout all of time, since the garden, since he made that initial promise, and all that Christ worked for. He is the one that worked for what we can receive. And it is all for us right now. It is all for us. He said, go ahead. Go ahead. Begin. Begin to reap the benefits. Take what is now yours. You are sons of God. You are seated in the heavenlies. You are among heaven's holiest. That's our fellowship. That's our group. That's who we hang with. Right? Heaven's holiest. The ones that stuck it out in the midst of the fight in heaven between God's archenemy, Lucifer, the adversary, and the ones who said, we stand with you, Jehovah Elohim. We stand with you, creator of all life. We stand with you, not him, because he's a counterfeit. He's a liar from the beginning. He will always be a liar. But we stand with you, the true and the faithful, the one who gave us life. we stand with you. We are among that group. And he has put us even higher than them. Even higher than them. That's just an unbelievable, unbelievable favor of God. So, you know, when we think of our adversary, who is he now? He is nothing but a bug under our feet. Yeah, sometimes those bugs are a little, they're pretty fast sometimes. You know, you go to swat them and they're like, they're standing still. And you see them, but they're bugging you. They're bugging you so bad. And you just, you go, I got you now. And you go to swat them and they go, whoop! And they're so fast out of your way. But then eventually what happens? You smash them. Nothing but a bug. That's who the adversary is to us now. Yeah, he may come to us and say, look how beautiful I am. You can say, what? I have not seen a bug as beautiful, have I? Well, basically, I've seen bugs more beautiful than you. As weird as they are when you look close. He's just the adversary. He's just who he is. He's nothing to us. Because God has made us more than conquerors. More than conquerors in every situation. He has given us the power and authority to be victorious everywhere, every time. You know, it says in John, 1 John, there's that great chapter. Is it in chapter 4? You know, where we try the spirits. Or is it chapter 3? Forget where it is, but we can find it. We can find the place where it is written. Chapter 4? Yeah, chapter 4, right? Believe not every spirit, right? And this terminology is like not the spirits themselves, but the things that the spirits produce, the words that they're giving.
Yeah.
Right? The ideas and thoughts that they're putting out there. Like, you're no good. You're a bug. You're ugly. You know, you're weak. All these things. Wait a minute. I'm going to try that. I'm going to put that on trial. Is that true according to what God says? No, it's not. He says, you're my heaven's holiest. You are my beautiful, most beautiful son, daughter. I have created you. I have made you. I have formed you. I have created you. You're mine. So we try those things. You know, and the world will continue to speak things that are contrary to who we really are in Christ. They'll continue to do that. Right? That's why we don't conform ourselves to those things, because it's against it. So when we consider our lives, we consider what God has done in our lives. We consider those great things that God is doing in our lives, because he is working right now. Whether they're of God or not, see, you try them, whether they're of God or not, because there are a lot of false prophets out there. There are a lot of false prophets, the ones that speak lies about God, lies about Jesus Christ, lies about you as a son or daughter of God. Lies about whether you're able to hear God when he speaks to you. Lies as to whether or not you're able to do those things that God is encouraging you to do or giving you opportunity to do. You know, like he did with, you know, who was it that went to the street called straight? Ananias, right? That certain disciple. God just began to speak to him one day. Hey, Ananias, I got something for you I need you to do. Right? I mean, it was like, who, me? What? Certainly there's a few more people that are more capable than me, especially to deal with that guy named Saul. If I'm understanding you correct, he's the guy that's killing people like me. putting him in jail. I really have no desire to go to jail. The dungeons are a really bad place. Yeah. So not a big deal to him, though. He made that available to him, and he just began, and he went and did it. God does that to us. He works in us, and he will speak plainly and clearly. Mm. Right? When we consider what? When we consider that he is with us at every turn. He is in our lives constantly. He is working in you. He can't work in you from a distance. I guess he could, but that's not the understanding that we're given in that phraseology, right? He is working in you. So we continue to recognize that, and that makes his working in us so easy to see and understand and hear. And that's how you know the Spirit of God, that every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. When Jesus Christ came in the flesh, the Word, every promise of God concerning man's redemption became real. Everything that he had promised, everything that he had spoken of, began to be fulfilled when Christ, the Word, became flesh. When he was born, when he took his first breath. The fulfillment of it begins. And that fulfillment of it is what every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God and therefore proceeds out of your mouth when you're speaking for him or endeavoring to proclaim his gospel will have reference to Jesus Christ the Lord and what he has accomplished for you as the believer. That's how you can tell what's coming from a false prophet, what's coming from those who are really truly speaking for the one true God. They will reference at all times the gospel, the good news that you are now righteous in Christ, that it is not of works lest any man should boast, that God is working in you to will and to do of his good pleasure, that he has prepared for you things that you could never have imagined. It has not occurred to the heart of man, the things that he has prepared for us to benefit from. It has not even occurred to you how great this could be. This is just phenomenal. And these are the words that separate the false from the true. When they provide us great encouragement as to who we are in Christ. Not what we have to do for Christ that is so laborious, but what we have been benefited by him in Christ. That we are indeed righteous, that we are now as he is. And that's where it comes to, right? Towards the end of this, we know that we have overcome the false prophets and their effect in the world. We have overcome it because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So now, recognizing that, we walk in such great love because we see the picture. God opens the eyes of our understanding as to how much grace he has thrown our way, how much he favors us, how much he says, oh, you don't have to do anything. Just enjoy my presence. And when you respond to that, you'll have great desire to do what I have prepared for you to do. No one will have to force you. The words will be there. The words will be there because you know what? The harvest is ripe. Not only for us personally in our own lives to receive the things that God has given to us by his grace, but to a world that has those people that will find you, seek you out and say, I want to know about Jesus Christ. I want to know what he has done for me and can do for me because I can't do this by myself. And you can deliver people in the stead of Jesus Christ, in his place. The world needed the Christ when he first came, and the world needs a Christ now. That Christ is you and me. Everywhere we go, there is that son, that daughter, who has seen the Father do great things for them and can duplicate those things for others. Just like Jesus Christ said, I can't do anything by myself. What I see the Father doing for me, I'm doing for you. What I see the Father do, what I see the Father do, I do. He had such incredible experiences with his relationship with the Father. I mean, think of the times that he must have been discouraged when his own people spit on him, tried to stone him. And all he was trying to do was open their eyes to the reality that redemption was at hand. Their redemption was at hand. Right? So the Father worked with him, healed him, encouraged him. I'm sure there were days he woke up, he had a sore throat. It wasn't not impossible, right? I'm sure he had a couple of bouts with some very serious things that the adversary threw his way. And yet he said, no, Father, I need to be strong. I need to feel my best. Mm-hmm. God must have healed them countless times. Yeah. I can't imagine that it wasn't anything like that. He was a man. Just like us. We had flesh. He had weakness. I mean, yeah, he had a benefit. He had half of his genetics came from the true God. But he did have that other half.
Yep.
That was that flesh. Weakness. Oh, you know, it's just such a reality. It's such a real, true thing for all of us. You know, when we stop and consider, you know, that our belief in God is not in vain. It is not empty. It is real. And each one of us is a testimony to that, because each one of us has experienced the power of God working in us. Either to answer a prayer, quite a simple one, maybe a complex one, maybe a really hard one, or to heal our bodies, deliver us from oppression of the adversary. Many, many things. We have many, many testimonies as to the greatness of our God. So we joy and rejoice in this. And we do what no other can do. We do this one thing. We love one another, right? It says in chapter 4, verse 11. God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. We just walk in great love towards one another. Because that love is a display of what is at work within you. This love is that it describes right here. That love that no natural man can exhibit. Because it is something that is inherent with that Spirit of God within you. That Spirit that dwells within you, that enables you to separate the false from the true, that enables you to see that you really indeed are greater than he that's in the world. You are more powerful. You have more authority. We all do. And this love that we have one for another is that thing which Jesus Christ told his disciples, you know, it's your love for one another that's going to show people who you really are. That you're my disciples. My disciples. Not just any guy out there. You're disciples of the Christ, the Son of God. And when you're filled with all the power of God, the love that you exhibit will show people God. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God, and that is dwelleth in us, is that same present participle in the Greek. if we love one another, it's because God is dwelling in us, is dwelling in us. He is dwelling in us. He's working in us. And his love is perfected in us. We don't have to perfect the way we walk. It is perfected in us. It's a passive thing because God is dwelling in us. And as we just simply allow that to be exhibited in our lives, and that is by way of that love. You know, we all understand what love is. We all know what it is. It's not a hard thing to understand. You know, love is giving. Love is saying, yeah, I love you anyway. I forgive you. You know, I think you're the greatest. I think that in spite of your shortcomings, you're still the greatest thing that ever walked the face of the planet, aside from the Lord you follow. Right. And we live this way. And this is what frees us to really manifest the power that dwells within us. You know, nothing else can do that. You know, it's not about, it's not like we've heard so many times, and we all seem to come back to that reality that it is not about our flesh. It just can't be. Because God knew better than to make it about our flesh. He had to give us the enablements. He had to begin to work in us, because we can't work in ourselves. Every time we try and do it ourselves, we just fall flat on our face. We just bottom out. You know. But the grace of God brings us through. The grace of God keeps us from falling and picks us up. Every time he sees us and our efforts in our heart, and he provides for us a way to glorify him always. Because that's what it's all about in our own hearts, too. We want to just glorify God. We want to make sure that people know how great he really is and how great his son, Jesus Christ, really is. What a great thing he did for each of us. You know, that we are now, as it says here in verse 17, herein is our love made perfect. You know, that God is dwelling in us. God is dwelling in us, and we're not afraid, because that love dwells in us and casts out that fear. We just love. We just touch the untouchable. We love the unlovable. We cause people to be healed and delivered, because that's who we are. That's who he was. That's who we are. We may have boldness in the day of judgment. And that day to come, we will be bold before our God. When he gathers us together, he sends Christ to gather us together, and we meet him in the air, we won't be feeling sheepish. We won't be feeling self-conscious. Right? We will be bold before him. I won't be thinking, hey, how's my hair look? You know, it looks a little wild today. I didn't give my buzz cut. It's a little unsightly. We won't be thinking that way. We'll be before him with all great confidence, boldness. Because what does it say? Because as he is, so are we. So are we. And you know, one text, Murdoch, the Aramaic, Murdoch's translation of the Aramaic, puts that in the past tense. It says, because as he was, so are we. How was he when he walked? How was he when he was in the same place that we walk? Oh, he was the man of men. And if he was a daughter of God, he would have been the woman of women. He was a man among men. He was the man. Nothing shook him. Nothing was too big for him, because he knew that nothing was too big for his father. I will raise the dead. I will cleanse the leper. I will cast out devil spirits, because I am, as he was, filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with that power and authority. That's who we are. That's who we are. And if anybody's not telling you that, then maybe they got it wrong. It's okay. Or it could be not okay, because it could be a false prophet. And that's the Antichrist. That's the one that says, no, what he did really doesn't matter. That's Antichrist. To be for Christ is to be for everything that he accomplished for you. And to speak everything that he did for you. And to speak of you being able to come into the presence of God without any sense of sin, guilt, shortcoming. But to come into his presence with great boldness and confidence, knowing that he has cleansed you. He has made you righteous. He has justified you. He has set you apart and made you among heaven's holiest. And now we really truly are as he is. And we can walk as he did. So, fun life. Fun life.
Sound like you believe it.
Huh?
Sound like you believe it.
I think maybe. I don't know. I gotta work on my faith.
No.
We do. We don't. Because we all believe this. We all see the greatness of God's word. So, I love you guys, and I love the way God provides for us. So, anything else?
I have something to share, Donnie.
I know you do, Cindy. So please.
Hey, Cindy's got to share.
Yeah. Please go ahead.
Those of you who don't know me, I used to be Cindy Boydston. I lived with Donnie and Patty many decades ago. And I've been sick for about 3 years. And it got bad about... Really bad about a year and a half ago. And I went down to 85 pounds. I couldn't even lift my head. I couldn't move. I had a doctor here in Tallahassee, but he just kept sending me through a procedure that would drain fluid, and my weight was going down. He was doing nothing to make me healthier. So we went to Shands Hospital, and they diagnosed me with cirrhosis of the liver and end-stage renal, along with failure to thrive and malnutrition and all kinds of fun things.
Her organs were shutting down.
Yeah, my organs were shutting down. So we got out of that, and I was put on dialysis for the kidneys. And then the dialysis for the kidneys lasted just over a month, and my labs all came back clean, fine. So they stopped the dialysis. Then this Friday, we were meeting with the head of the team that would do my transplant for the liver. By the way, that diagnosis for the liver had gone from cirrhosis to non-alcohol-related fatty liver disease. And so the cirrhosis is fatal, the fatty liver disease is curable, but I wasn't into just being curable, I was into being cured. So this is about what I look like. I hope I could do this. This is what I look like right after I got out of the hospital.
This is after she was getting better. She looked worse than that when she was at her worst.
Yeah, I was down to 85 pounds, and I'm 5'8" and a half, so 85 pounds don't quite work. So I was doing things, I was still working. I'm a licensed mental health counselor, so I would do online sessions from my home, one or two people a week. I'd build it gradually as my strength built up, but we visited the head doctor of my team on Friday to find out if a liver transplant was needed, because we'd already ruled out that there would not be a need for a kidney transplant. So the liver transplant, he said, we don't need to do. No surgery. When Donnie was talking about people that will tell you things that they think are helping but aren't helping, the miserable comforters, I had one come to my hospital room when I was here in Tallahassee, a believer, and tell me that if I just believed more, that God would heal me. That pissed me off. I said, no, that's a promise of God. All I have to do is expect him to bring it to pass. I don't have to believe more. And they also said, just tell that doctor that he doesn't know what he's doing and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I'm not going to tell a doctor he doesn't know what he's doing. He's had the advanced schooling that I haven't had. How am I going to presume to know what he does? But I do know what God says. And so right now I am not lined up for any surgeries. And I am just working on building strength so that I can get in my office again and do my private practice again. But it was a hard, long journey. It was painful. I got an emotional support animal because there are times when I would just break down in tears.
There were a lot of people praying with us and for
all over the world.
All over the world, yeah. And Cindy at times would lash out and have emotional breakdowns because she was in so much pain and suffering so much. But God brought her through it. And
my little Juliet helped. We got my emotional support animal, Juliet Grace. Juliet because she looked like the Juliet, and Grace because by the grace of God, she is exactly the right personality. Her sense of humor is so like mine. And so she was what I would hold on to when I was just felt lost. So it doesn't mean that when you're expecting God to heal you, it doesn't mean that you're not going to feel all these bad things or people aren't going to tell you stupid shit. But it does mean that if you expect God to bring you through, he'll bring you through. And then one thing somebody that's not too bright said to me was that, well, this person, we wanted him to not die, but he died anyway. And I'm like, maybe he was ready to die. Who are you to judge? So that's kind of my story. I now look like this, and I'm getting healthier every day.
All right. Yes. Praise God. Yay. Yay. Yeah, Cindy, you know, yeah. You look beautiful. Of course, you looked beautiful in the previous picture that you showed, but boy, do you look more yourself now.
Yep.
I'm so happy for you and Steve too. I know that, you know, Steve has been right there with you through the whole thing, you know, God is so good to us. You know, none of us are perfect, but like you said, if you just continue to expect God to do what he has promised he'll do, he'll do it. He'll do it.
The liver transplant doctor that we saw, Dr. Morelli, I love him. He's wonderful. When he came into the office, he had seen my labs, and we'd seen those before they were all messed up. Now they're all almost completely normal. There's like two things that are just a tad low. And so when Dr. Morelli came in, he just went, and he sat down and goes, Cynthia Wall, right? Yeah. He said, I am so impressed.
He was flabbergasted.
He was speechless. He couldn't say anything because he'd barely seen that happen before. And I said, well, that's my dad.
Yeah. Amen. That's awesome. Yeah, it's great to shock the doctors. That's awesome. Well, so many, many great things that God's doing. So why don't we, does anybody else have anything to share? If not, we'll go ahead and we'll have some manifestations and close it out. What a great great time. Thank you all for the things you shared. And
I want to say something.
Great. Okay. Yeah.
Just, you know, knowing Cindy like I know her, I just knew she's going to make it through this. And her incredible tenacity and spunky, ornery stick-to-itiveness, you know, she nailed it just now when she talked about the miserable comforters that is recorded in the book of Job. All these people that came to Job and basically told him he wasn't righteous and he wasn't this and he wasn't that and he must have sinned, or if you just believe bigger, like she said. And I mean, that falls under that category of other people, you know, people speaking evil into your life, even though maybe they're speaking so-called truth or part truth. You have to have that tenacity and, you know, dogged determination that God has got you and you expect it to happen no matter what it looks like or what it feels like.
And I also refused to talk about how much I was in pain. Steve can tell you I rarely mentioned it, because my idea was that if I keep talking about it, keep confessing it, it's going to be real. I don't want that. So I would not even talk about it unless it was really bad. He would see me crumble, and then he would know, and he would help. I mean, he's been through a lot just through this. He's amazing. He's my rock. He's a wonderful man.
Amen. Great to Great to have that, for sure.
Maybe some of you remember Steve and Cindy came here and cooked for us on a Resurrection Sunday weekend 3-4 years ago. Do you remember?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
So.
Well, praise God. We have great things in store for us. Great things He has done, great things He'll continue to do. So, love you all very much. So, let's pray and hear the manifestations, and then we'll close shop, okay? So, Father, we sure are grateful for Your love and grace. Thank You for the way You continue to work so mightily on our behalf to bring us through every challenge, every dark place, that You bring us through these things into Your wonderful glory. Thank You, Father, for that. Thank You for the power being so real within us that we can continue to remember that Your power isn't available to us, but that it's dwelling in us. Thank You, Father, for these things and for the great, great words that You have for us continually in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Someone go ahead and manifest, please.
I take care of you every moment of the day. There's nothing that I will not do for you. There's nothing that I cannot bring to pass for you in your life, for nothing is impossible for me. Trust in me with all your heart. Don't lean to your understanding. Lean to me, for I am truth. And everything that I shall speak shall be yes and amen in your lives. Once again, don't look to the world. It has nothing for you. All your answers are in me. And I have given you everything that pertains to life and godliness.
Someone else.
I am your Lord and God. I give you strength and peace, and I have quieted the waters for you and you alone. For my strength is yours, and your strength is for others. So give. And give and continue giving all the days of your life, because life is giving, and I have given to you all you need. So please help others so they can have what you have. Speak quietly and calmly to yourself. Know that you are loved when you're alone, and you are loved when you are with people who love you. So stand strong in your own quiet moments.
My beautiful children, know that this tender and wonderful relationship that we have one with another is going to last for all eternity. So treasure this, my children. Look at that. Look at the good. Look at the positive. Look at the power. Look at the authority I've given you. Just walk hand in hand with me and lead others to me. Keep life simple and sweet according to my word and as I speak to you, and know that I shall be there for you all the days of your life. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will give you what you do expect from me. So trust me, my children, and let go. Know that I have you in the palms of my hands, for truly I do love you. As my word says, the hairs on your head are numbered, and I have given you great peace and power and confidence and authority in this life. So use it, my children, for this is great treasure. These things are fine gold and silver, not the things of the world. So know, my children, that as we walk and talk together all the days of your life on this earth, know that that's only the beginning. We have an entire eternity together.
I am the Lord your God. I am all powerful and I'm on your side. I will always be with you all the days of your lives. Be still and listen to my word, and I will speak to you daily.
All right. Well, amen, I guess. Huh? Yeah. Wonderful.
Hey, did anyone bring donuts?
That was Steve. No, we don't have any here.
No.
Darn. Got plenty of coffee, though.
Sounds good.
You can't be craving donuts. What the heck, dude?
Oh boy.
All right. Well, you guys are the greatest. Sure love you.
Love you too.
Love you too.
Wonderful fellowship. Praise God. Expect great things, right? Expect great things from our Father.
Bye.
Love you guys.
All right, love you, Cheryl.
All right, everybody, have a good weekend.
Bless you guys.
God bless.
Charlie, God bless you. Hey Matt. And Ann. Hey, Matt.
I bless you all. See you later.
Andrew.
All right, bless you, Andrew.
Andrew.
Hey, Matt. Thank you, brother.
All right, Donnie. That's
sure. Up.
Dwan.
Dwan's asleep.
Dwan, it looks like you're kicking back in your van or something. What are you on the road?
Yeah, I'm on the road headed to a gig in North Carolina.
Oh, okay.
Show them who Dwan is.
Okay. Dwan, say that again.
Right.
Yeah, we know Dwan.
What'd you say? Hey.
Carrie doesn't know.
Oh.
Where's
Dwan? Can you see me?
He's got the big red pillow behind his head.
Oh.
Have a good gig.
What's up, Dwan?
Hey, man. What's up, Anthony? How are you?
Good. How are you, man?
It's been a long time.
Seriously,
baby.
Oh,
yes.
I'm bounce.
Ain't gonna bounce. We'll be.
Right.
We'll see you in less than a week, Dwan.
Yeah.
Okay.
At Jada's thing.
That's Kim, right.
She's graduated from high
school. Friday.
Coming Friday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Tell her congrats.
All right.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Hi guys.
Bye. Love you all.
Bye, Steve.
Bye. Love you guys.
See you guys.
All right. See you, Antonio and Ashley.
Bye.
Love you guys.
Love you.
Bye. Love you all. I'm going to kick it.
We're praying for your business to continue to blossom there, Ashley.
Thank you so much.
Yay.
Yeah. Keep growing every day.
Hey, Greg. And,
there she is.
Greg and Natalie. God bless.
Where'd they go?
Bless you guys.
They're gone.
Hey, Donnie?
Oh.
Yeah.
Donnie, I'm going to give you a call. I got some information after the meeting's over.
Okay. Yeah, give me a call.
Bye, guys. Hey.
Bye.
God bless.
Love you all.
Right. Love you all.
God bless. Love you all.
I'm going to bounce.